follow along as I read just a couple of verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Today's teaching from 1 John is simply how we can know the difference between truth and error. Truth and error. And mainly when it comes to spiritual teaching, spiritual things in life. John, the human author, under the control of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here in 1 John chapter 4, simply is going to talk about the importance of understanding, you and I understanding, you and I believing, you and I practicing God's truth. In verse 1, he's addressing his church. John's addressing his church, his flock, his church members. And notice what it says in verse 1. It says, beloved, as he addresses his church, like I'm addressing our church today, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, in sprawling understanding, what that means is don't accept everything you hear as truth. Don't accept everything you hear as the gospel truth because you heard it in church. Don't accept everything you hear in church from a pastor, from an evangelist, from a spokesman for the meeting that you're at that's supposed to be Christian focused. Don't believe everything you hear, no matter who you hear it from, is what he's saying. He says, just to clear it up, he says, believe not every spirit. Spirit refers, you ready? Spirit refers in context here to demonic spirits, to false prophets, to false teachers. Now, I'm here to tell you that John was talking to his congregation, his flock, his church membership, and he was saying it back there in AD 90, long time ago, telling them that, hey, be careful what you hear. Because as you know, in 1 John 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapters, we've been talking about, but he's been warning them about false teachings, false preachers, false teachers. He's been talking about false prophets peddling wrong doctrine. And so now he's at it again here in chapter 4, and he's simply saying that, hey, be careful what you believe that you heard. There's always been false spirits, false teachers, false prophets, distorting God's word, God's truth, God's instruction. As a matter of fact, it happened way back there in the Garden of Eden when Satan came in there and he began to cast doubt to Adam and Eve, the very first humans created. He began to cast doubt upon what God said, on God's word. He was a false teacher. He was a false peddler. He was a false prophet. He was of a demonic spirit. Way back there in Genesis chapter 2, he began to talk. In chapter 3, he began to tell the first couple something and try to put down on what God had told them, and was totally wrong and opposite of what God said. And now we've got John here in 1 John 4 saying the same thing. Don't believe every spirit you hear, and then it gets into those types of spirits. Now, all teachers, all preachers, all prophets, I don't want to shock you, but they're not all spiritual. They're not all supernatural. They're not all truth tellers, truth spreaders. And so he says right off the bat in verse 1, believe not every spirit, little s, little p, little I-R-I-T, lowercase. But look what it says in verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. But try. In other words, it means that, hey, if you hear something, you better check it out. If you hear something, you better test it to see if it matches up with the context of the canon of scriptures called the Bible. He says, but try. If you hear something, if something's said and you're not sure that's what it meant, or you're not really concerned, or your spirit don't really agree with that, hey, it says, but try. It means to test, to check out, to compare, to prove what was said with what Scripture says. Because we have to compare what's said from a person like me or anybody else. We got to compare it with the standard. And the standard is the Word of God, God's infallible, inerrant Word. All through church history, it proves that there has always, always been false prophets, false teachers, false preachers. And we've got to be careful what we hear and accept. We have to check them out. We have to test them. That's what John is saying. In Scripture, false teachers, false prophets, they're known as heretics, charlatans, abusers, dividers, ticklers, they tickle ears, and speculators. That's what false teachers, false prophets, false preachers, false peddlers of information, of doctrine, that's what they kind of come down to being in that category. In Deuteronomy 13, here's what the Scripture says in the Old Testament. If someone who dreams arises saying, let us follow other gods, that prophet, according to Deuteronomy, that prophet must be put to death. He's peddling wrong truth, wrong doctrine. And he has a spirit, a demonic spirit, that is not a truth teller. And so Deuteronomy says, you have to test them, you have to try them out. That's what John is saying here in 1 John chapter 4. In Matthew's gospel, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. He said, oh, they got the look. He says they look like they're real. They got the mannerisms. They got the words down. They've got what makes you kind of reel you in, just like probably Satan did in the garden. But hey, Jesus is saying, you better be careful. You better try them. You better check them out. You better prove what they're saying. Because, hey, he said, they're really, they look the look on the outside wearing sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. They're dangerous. John's summary is false prophets are to be condemned, called out, and avoided. All teaching, according to him in verse 1, is that it has to be tested, it has to be tried, it has to be examined. So first of all, here's what you do. We got to check the content. If you hear a person, you're at a rally, you're at a revival service, you have a special guest, you have a missionary, you have a pastor like myself, you have an evangelist, if you have a staff member, and they say something, and you go like, I don't know that I've ever heard that before. The Bible is, he's saying, hey, check their content. Check it. Prove it. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says the church of Berea receive the word with all readiness of mind. Don't miss it. And search the scriptures whether those things were so. The New Testament, the early church there in Acts, hey, it says this, the blueprint for the local New Testament church is the book of Acts. And it says that, man, the pastor came there and he began to preach and teach them. And they received the word. But the Bible says they went home and they got their scrolls out and they compared what was said so they would make sure who the speaker, what he said, was exactly right. And so that's what John is saying. We've got to check their content. We have an obligation. You and I, as Christians, we have an obligation to know, to be sure, so that if we pass on what we've heard. We're passing on truth, Bible doctrine that is set to the standard of Scripture. Right now, this week, the Church of England, they're pushing. Church of England, where great things happened, where revivals broke out, where great men of God came and started and shook that continent up and shook that nation up. Hey, now today, just recently in the last couple of weeks, the Church of England is pushing gender-neutral God. No more our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, we can't say that no more. That'll offend somebody. We can't do that no more because it's not equality or equity. We can't do that no more because we all know that God's not gender, and so we can't do that no more. So now they want to change the Lord's Prayer as to not our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They want to say our Father and our Mother which art in heaven. You got to check the content. The content's the Word of God. The content's God's Word. The content is what He inspired men to work, right? That were holy men set apart. And those Scriptures are not man's word, but they're inspired by God Himself through the Holy Spirit that told men what to write. We've got to understand, you got to check the content. Because not every spirit is of spiritual. Not every spirit is of God. Some of them are false and wrong and demonic. False teachers peddle false beliefs, peddle false doctrines, peddle false lies. Many false teachers say true things in the context of what they're saying. Then they slip in something subtle, something wrong, something harmful, something false, some false things, some harmful things, some wrong things. And John details a truth of teachers and preachers that they must believe to be a prophet or a preacher of the gospel. And it says in verse 2 that those guys, you can check their content. You can simply, they must confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. They've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus came and was born of a virgin, that Jesus was born and came in the flesh. They have to believe that. Now, that's no problem for us to believe. But not everybody believes that. And John goes on to say that you've got to check their content. All major world religions and cults, they don't all believe what John said you have to believe in verse 2. Take Islam religion. No Muslim accepts, considers, believes that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus was born of a virgin. They don't believe that. Three times in Scripture, God Himself from heaven said, not once, not twice, but three times, God in heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased." God said it's my Son. God said that that Son that's in the flesh is my Son. God said it three different times, but Islam religion don't believe it. They believe Jesus lived. They believe that Jesus walked on earth. They believe that. They just don't believe that He was divine, that He was God. In the flesh, they don't believe that. God's Word says that Jesus is the Son of God. God Himself said three different times that Jesus was His only begotten Son, that He was His own Son. In every world religion and cult, without exception of the Islam faith, simply denies that truth. So first of all, we've got to check the content. But secondly, we have to check their companions. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world." We have to not only check the content, but we have to check who's telling us stuff that don't agree with us or our spirit. We have to check their companions. It says that in verse 3 that those who teach, those that preach, those that peddle false teaching are of the world, of the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, we read it earlier, they are of the world and the world heareth them. We got to check not only their content, we got to check their companions, who they run with, who they buddy with, who's in their circle, who's teaching what, who's their leader. False teachers, false prophets are very popular. They appeal to large crowds. They appeal to the masses of people. Most generally, some of those guys that are the leaders of those groups, they're upbeat, they're smooth, they're sly, they're convincing. They're geared toward, and they win popular appeal. People like them. They're charismatic, they're outgoing, they're personal, they're relational. So, I've been around a few years in ministry circles. And I'm amazed at the gullibility of so-called Christians. They accept. They agree. They go along with some of this stuff that's out there. And all John is saying, like, not everything you hear is true. Not everything you see is spiritual doctrine. Not everything you say, you've got to check the content based on the standard of the Word of God. And you've got to check their companions, the people they hang with, the people they run with, the people they learn from. Not every seminary puts out biblical, doctrinal, spiritual, Word of God truth. And we've got to be careful. Heard about the false teacher who was peddling the so-called miracle billfold. And he was demonstrating that billfold to his audience. And he opened it up and the billfold was empty. And then he said to the audience, and then the Lord speaks, and I opened this up and it was empty. And he said, then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, just open it up again. And he's telling his audience as he opened up that billfold, he said, then I opened it up again. And he pulled out, he said, and there's $100 bill in there. Zowers! I mean, wow! I mean, what a great God! So he decided that, hey, maybe my audience needs a miracle billfold. So they can get in on the blessing. So they can get in on what God wants to do in that empty billfold they might have or a need they might have. And so he simply didn't. So he decided that he wanted everybody to have a miracle billfold. And they could get one if they would send him an offering so he could get it. You got to check the companions. You got to check the content. You got to know the truth. It's easy for us to believe people. We want to believe people. We want to simply accept what people are saying. But hey, if you've been saved any time at all, we've got to be grown up, mature adults in spirituality, and we need to know what's going on and know what's truth. 2 weeks ago, Pope Francis was placed as a pope in 2013, 10 years. Just so you know, the pope is the head of the Catholic Church, the Catholic denomination. Just so you know, a pope in itself, the pope himself, don't answer to no human. He has no board. He has no trustees. He has no stockholders. He simply answers to no human authority. He's the head of the church. He makes the call. He says what he says. And so 2 weeks ago, he got in trouble. He got in trouble with his own members because he was talking, and Pope Francis came out with this statement. He said, homosexuality is a sin. So we'd go, yeah, we agree with that. We agree with it because Scripture agrees with that. But he didn't stop there. He says homosexuality is a sin. This is the Pope. Homosexuality is a sin, but it's not criminal. What does that mean? So what it's saying is that, well, let's put it in words we can understand. Murder is a sin. But it's not criminal. Now, we kind of get that a little bit better than homosexuality. Hey, it's a sin to murder, of course, because Scripture says it's a sin. It's also criminal. If someone murders, then the Bible says if someone takes a life on purpose, their life should be taken because of one. That's what Scripture says. But we have the Pope
Who's the top guy, top leader, top voice in the Catholicism and Catholic denomination saying that? So we got to watch the companions. We got to check the content. We got to be simply, we have to understand what we hear is true. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, speaking lies in hypocrisy, causing insidious harm, hurt, and destruction. You got to check the content. You got to check the companions. Birds of a feather flock together. They stick together. We're discussing this morning false teachers, false prophets. Can I just tell you, doctrine matters? It matters. It matters what you believe. It matters what we hear that we have to check out to see if we believe it. And we believe it because Scripture says it. Doctrine matters. Jesus said, I am the way. What Jesus said. Here's what he meant by that. He said, there's one way and only one way. There's no other way. That's what Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. God determines truth and error. God determines right and wrong. And we've got to check the content. We've got to check the companions. Reuben, did you watch the Grammys this week? You're kidding.
You're a music guy.
On the Grammys this week, and a friend told me this, I didn't watch either. And Taylor Swift, who's an household name, Taylor Swift made this comment at the Grammys this week. True Christianity is not the stuff in an outdated Bible. See, that true Christianity is not that. It's not the stuff in this book. Outdated, antique, dinosaur, fuddy-duddy. Recent survey said that 62% of Americans and adults in a survey said there's no absolutes. All truth is relative. No one has a right to force their truth on anyone else. So the buzzword for the last couple decades, especially recently, is tolerance. But that word tolerance is only for us Christians. We're the ones that have to tolerate, not anybody else. Just us, just Christians. They're the ones that are in trouble. They're the ones that's always called out. Christianity, Christians, the church, right-wingers, people that want to follow the content of what Christ said. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Check the content. Number two, check their companions. And third, last of all, check their conversion. Ask them about their salvation experience. You hear somebody teach, you hear someone preach, you hear someone you give a talk, a Bible study, a lesson. Hey, ask for their testimony on how they became a Christian. Verse 3 says, they have the spirit of the Antichrist. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, their conduct, their character, their communication should show their conversion. People have big platforms. And because they have big platforms and big crowds, people say, well, man, surely God's in that. And these larger-than-life posters. Oh, they sound spiritual. Oh, they look educated. Probably are. Oh, they're so attractive. And then you hear about them getting caught in fraud, embezzlement, in adultery. And when they get caught, here's what they say. You ready? Here's what they say. They say, my private life is my own business. Stay out of it. Now, my public life, I've dedicated
unto the Lord. I got a Greek word for that. You ready? Applesauce. How's that? False teachers defeat. False teachers deny. False teachers depart from the truth. These false teachers claim revelatory privilege. Big word, here's what it means. Try to understand you. They say, come to our meeting Wednesday night. We've got brother so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. We've got so-and-so coming. And then they'll give you her name. Stop right there. Revelatory privilege. We've got somebody coming Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it because God has spoken to them one-on-one and given them some new revelation and given them a word that no one else has but them. And lo and behold, be here. Invite your friends. Come out. I'm here to tell you there's nothing new. I'm here to tell you we've got one book. I'm here to tell you it's God's word. I'm here to tell you all that God's given us is right here. Hey, if somebody comes and says, hey, God spoke to me. Here's what he said. Here's what he did. I'm here to tell you that if it goes against Scripture or adds to Scripture or it takes away from Scripture, hey, you better watch those people with two eyes. The Greeks were fighting the Trojans in Troy. So, 10-year battle. Stalemate. So the Greeks built a large figure of a horse. And they hid some of their army men, some of their military men, inside the horse. It's a big wooden Trojan horse. And the Greeks pretended to leave to surrender the battle. And they left this Trojan horse as a trophy to Troy. Y'all win. And so the Troy Trojans came there and they pushed that wooden horse upon their shores. And that night, those men inside the horse, those men who'd snuck in, they infiltrated the grounds of Troy. That night they snuck out. And while the Trojans were sleeping, they went and opened the gates and their folks, they thought the Greeks had left. They were just in hiding. They all came in there and they took over and they simply demolished their armies. Destroyed the city. They ended the war. They celebrated victory. In similar manner, false teachers, they sneak in our churches. False teachers, they sneak in our seminaries. False teachers, they sneak into our publishing houses. They publish books and they teach young students in seminary and they come to churches like this and they peddle false doctrine and false truth and weigh out stuff and they come for one reason, the same reason the Greeks did what they did, to infiltrate, to get in there and then take over and ruin it and destroy it and then have victory over it. We have the truth. We have the Holy Spirit. We win in the end. In verse 4, it says, Christians, believers, followers, overcomers of false teaching. The Bible says, you know the verse, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stronger is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Bigger is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Difference between truth and error. Check the comments here. Check their companions and check their conversion. If they got saved any other way than Scripture says it, you better run. Check them out. Well, John told his church. That's where we're at in 1 John chapter. Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for John. We thank you that we have a Bible that we can count on, we can depend on, we can trust in, we can rely on. It never changes. It's truth. And Father, we're grateful for that. We thank you for your verse that says, greater is he that's in us. We go up against the battles of the world. the battles of woke, the battles of intolerant people, the battles of equity and all the stuff that we're facing these days. Lord, help us to take a stand, a strong stand. Help us to be strong. Help us to understand what we believe and why we believe it. Father, we just pray you'd always be honored and lifted up and praised. Father, for that we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Reuben's going to lead us in an invitation. If we could help you come this morning.
Just come, I am with
anybody, know what you believe, why you believe. Be a student of God's word. Thank you so much for your attention. It's always a privilege for me to speak to our church today.